Welcome to the very last episode of Competitive Edge for CSGO here in 2022. We still have one major event coming up, that is the Blast World Finals, with a bunch of the best teams in the world, as well as both finalists from the major returning. So, big event, and now's your time to take advantage of EsportsBet loss forgiveness bonus up to $100. If it is your first time betting on EsportsBet and you happen to lose, you can get up to $100 back. All you have to do is join the Discord link below for EsportsBet, message the mods and say, hey, can you credit my account $100? I lost on my first bet. You'll get it right back. That means you can take some flyers, look for some really good odds. If it works out, you make a bunch of money. If it doesn't work out, you get your money back. So very nice time. Now, focusing on the Blast World Finals, let's talk about whether some of these teams are going to be using the Blast World Finals as a proving ground for next year, or whether they are going to be taking this tournament super seriously and trying to win it. Thorin, what do you think?
I think basically every team there has something to prove. Like, Outsiders won the major, but that's the only real big tournament they've ever won. Like, no one really cares about ESL Rotterdam Challenger beforehand. It's Heroic just won Blast Four Finals, don't even have the real lineup. So if anything, people want to know, like, can they do anything at this tournament with Config? There's the whole drama of that one. Then you've got teams like FaZe hasn't won in a while. They were like a round away from winning Blast Fall. Na'Vi's looked terrible, and it's implied they're going to cut Sam Dae-young, and there's going to be some roster moves. So quite frankly, who knows what the moves there are. And then I think for teams like Liquid and G2, right, I don't think Liquid actually will make roster moves. It's almost certain G2 is going to remove Hooksy if you look at like the positionings, who they brought in the org. So I think basically every org, you go down to the bottom, you've got Vitality, bombed the major after winning Pro League and kind of didn't make use of that momentum, didn't even qualify for the fall finals because they didn't get through the showdown. And then obviously OG, they're the team where in theory they have the least to prove. Like, they can come last place and no one will complain. It's a super stacked lineup of teams where everyone except OG basically are the best teams of the year. But even then, OG haven't done anything with this roster though. Like, this is the one where when they finally got all these pieces together, people are like, hey, maybe they can cause some big upsets. And they haven't really done it. They did it at the first Blast, the spring one. But after that, they, even at the major, for example, even though actually almost all the good players on their team had good stats, they didn't get through the first Swiss system. They were an example of a team where you can, the performance can be hit, but you lose the game. So I actually think for a different reason, every team minus maybe Heroic with the stand-in has something to prove, actually. This isn't just an event that you ride out and you end the calendar, because if people don't know, the player break's going to be after this and we sort of refresh for next year. I don't think everyone's going to do roster moves, but I do think like the nature of the major being so up and down in terms of the results means that everyone wants to finish the season strong.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, especially because this major was so anomalous when it came to the favorites getting knocked out early. Seems like they will be hungry for a certain level of success, or at least a nice way to close out the year before the player break. We also have some quite interesting odds. So all of the matches are going to be best of three that we start out with here. And the eight teams participating all seem relatively close, closer than you might expect given the odds. And I think part of that's because perhaps people don't really believe in Outsiders as a major champion, combined with the fact that favorites like FaZe and Na'Vi have been struggling more than expected. So if you really like FaZe and Na'Vi, you can actually get better than usual odds on them. Starting, though, with the first one, Outsiders, I think this is pretty surprising, but they're at 1.634, which are very good odds versus Team Liquid at 2.231, unless you think Team Liquid's going to pull off this upset. But for a defending major champion to come into the next event effectively at 1.6 odds against kind of an underwhelming TL team, I find this very surprising. Very surprising.
And you'll be even more surprised to find I'm taking Liquid on this
one. Oh my God.
Here's the reason why. Because I actually do think Outsiders is justifiably overrated. Not only are they a team, like, that's, people forget this. I was the one getting Outsiders as underdog all day long before the major, because no one believed in them. They hadn't done anything yet. They'd just been like a team that was tricky to beat, and they had sort of dark horse capacity. The problem is, when you hear the sentence, they won the world championship, that implies they're the best team in the world. They aren't at all, unfortunately.
The road
unfortunately
to get there was a little weak, right?
Yeah, basically, they were the team that just basically got to like scoop up the benefit of everyone else doing upsets. Like, famously, people forget this, it isn't just the other side of the bracket that they faced Heroic instead of Na'Vi, for example. They would have been the ones that would have faced Cloud9 next in the semi-finals, which would be a really interesting match. Never had to happen. The Mouse team managed to beat them, and then they just beat the Mouse team, which, as Richard said, was an academy team. Three of those players were academy players earlier this year or in last year. So I think if you just look at it, the problem is Outsiders is still a canny team. I enjoy watching them play, but to me, they're more a team that's sort of like a gatekeeper to the elite. great. So I think in this field here, for example, I would expect them to either go to the semis or go out in the quarterfinals. I don't think they'll be in the final. I don't think they'll win. So I'm actually going to say, even though I agree, normally the idea you could get the major winner as like a 1.6 something favorite is crazy. I actually think Liquid is a good matchup into them, though. If you go and look at the map pool of what they're going to play and pick, I actually think this is a team that can match up pretty well on most of the maps against Outsiders. Outsiders was also a team that did like Dust 2. That is not in the map pool. We're using Anubis for this tournament, the brand new map. By the way, in theory, you'd expect teams like Team Liquid and G2, the teams that have been doing badly and have had time off, that they should have been putting mad hours on this map, because this is where you could potentially get a little bit of benefit, and you hope the phases of the world have been too busy playing the tournament. So I actually think on this particular one, and then the last detail is this. This is actually the crux of why on this particular match I'm going with Liquid. I actually think the firepower between the two teams is pretty even. Now, it wasn't at the major, but that's the other thing. The reason why Jim genuinely did deserve the MVP at the major is even statistically, he was way above the level you normally expect. Like, I mean, sure, he wasn't playing the greatest teams in the world, but he was taking care of business. He was doing really well. You can't expect that at this tournament. Like, I would expect that to come right back down. Like, the idea they're going to have like three of the top five, seven players in the whole tournament, they're not in a super stack of LS. So I think you bring some of the factors down for Outsiders. You add in that, yeah, I agree. I don't think Liquid's that great against some of the other teams. I wouldn't pick them to win this tournament. But I think this one matchup, actually, I'm going to say Liquid gets the underdog. Because the key thing for me is, if it was like close to a 50-50, I'd just go with Outsiders. I think they're the better squad. But actually, as you said, it's like 2.2 for Liquid. I'm going to take that for this one. I'm going to gamble.
All right. We'll do. This might be a good one for your lost forgiveness, if you agree with Thorne here. We'll put 1,000 USDT onto Team Liquid. Pretty nice return there. And we'll immediately pop into our next match, which is the Up and Down FaZe Clan, winner of the first major of this year, and then struggling beyond that to replicate that success towards the later stages of this year. But they're going up against a team in G2 that really hasn't come together in the way that I know you kind of expected them to, Thorin. So is this a good time to grab FaZe at 1.5, which are odds that we really haven't seen in the last 6 months for them?
Yes, I'm going to take FaZe as the favorite here, because I actually do think, look, they were like a round or two away from winning the Blast 4 finals. And if they'd have done that, everyone would have said they're back. Maybe even people would restart that discussion of like, was this their era? Do they deserve, you know, like essentially they were so close to changing the whole narrative. So I actually do think FaZe is very good right now. I'll even add this detail if people forget. The reason why I bitched and moaned so much about the fact they lost the two BO1s at the major is because even when they got eliminated in the best of three, it was in like overtime on the third map. Like, it's not like they ever get rolled and just kicked out of tournaments like a bad team. Even when they lost at Pro League to Cloud9, it was like, again, three maps all the rounds. Like, they're a really hard team to beat in best of three, and in this format is very forgiving if you are actually the best team in the world. Like, everything's best of three, everyone except the bottom team in each group goes to the play, you know what I mean, like the whole thing. So as a result, I expect a team like FaZe to feast here. And even though normally I actually would usually love, on just if we put the two rosters on paper, I would normally take the G2 side, because the odds are crazy for them. Like, it's really high, the odds. But the problem is, the odds should be crazy high, because I've bet on G2 a couple of times the last few tournaments like a flyer, and it's never worked. So I have to say, that team, and they know this themselves, it's one of those squads that is like less than some of their parts. They actually do have some really good players, but it never comes together in the server, and quite frankly, like, they shouldn't beat a team like FaZe at this point.
I mean, after all the trials and tribulations of G2, is there a roster move you think that would actually cause them to work at this point? Because it feels like they've tried everything.
The big problem is, like, it's too easy for this whole story, obviously, to tie into the narrative of, like, Nikos had his own problems with all different IGLs and rosters over the last few years. I think people conflate it too much with that. For me, some of the, like, Nico actually often is one of the better parts of the team, but sometimes with some of the other players, I don't know if it's like the core itself doesn't work, because the problem is, since the main piece that's been shifted around is IGL alone can change everything in Counter-Strike, especially if they come with like experience and their own approach. So I just think personally, I know Cassad agrees with this, I just think it was silly to do the Huxley move. Like, that was never the guy who was going to be like, your, like, put it this way, we were never going to be saying like, and Huxley wins the major. Like, that was never going to come out of anyone's mouth, but that's what you should do if you're in G with these pieces. I mean, like, Monacy even is pretty good now, so that should be one of the better teams. The fact it isn't a contender here is a crying shame. So I have to say, I would instantly change IGL. Not sure which direction you go, but it's an obvious gamble. And then if you have to do another one, the problem then is we get into the territory where people's feelings get hurt, like, should Hunter stay, does Nico get removed? So it depends if you want to blow the whole thing up.
Well, I think it's hard to do that, keep the kind of marketable core identity of G2 intact. So all right, well, we'll go ahead, another 1,000 USDT onto FaZe Clan here. Odds are pretty good. little bit over 500 back if FaZe Clan takes the best of three win. Moving right along, the other major finalist, Heroic, against OG. Now, OG at 2.879 odds here. As you've mentioned multiple times, Heroic, maybe not a team that can actually finish out a lot of games, especially on LAN. And OG has had some surprisingly strong results at times, even if they have been a bit streaky. Do you take the big upset, potential upset here from OG at almost 3-1 odds?
Yes, this is actually where we're going to do it. Because as you say, the odds are enormous. And if you have odds like this, normally, you should also almost be like, it's functionally impossible for the other team to win. Well, here's the good news if you're a casual fan. OG is loaded with young talents and skilled players. So I actually think, that, and they've had this lineup for a while now. So even though, like I said, they didn't impress at the major, like in terms of results, actually player-wise, they do show up and they do frag out. So the key thing for me here is because Heroic's best player, the MVP of the last tournament, is not going to be here. I actually do think, look, there's a chance Config could fit role for role, and if he gets in good form, they could do something. But the problem to me is Heroic was always a team I thought was like slightly underskilled in terms of like the big hitters in the world. They didn't usually have people who could be the MVP. And for me, their biggest strength was like the cohesion of the team. It's that they had good team play, good chemistry. They clearly all knew Cadian's system. They've been together a long time with the you're not going to get all that now you've brought Config in. So I'll give them like a punch's chance against other teams if they're an underdog. But in this one, I actually think this is the gods are amazing to take OG. I think there's a good chance they can cause this upset.
Yeah, it seems like the odds are not reflecting the actual reality of a stand-in yet. Plus, do you know how much Config has actually been able to practice with his injury? Like, do you have any idea what form he's in right now?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
That's another big question mark. All right. Do another 1,000 onto OG here. We'll go for the big flyer. Seems like that's a very good one to do your loss forgiveness on, guys.
Yes, that would be an excellent
stand-in. And the best odds if you're going to reasonably predict an underdog. All right, let's wrap up the first phase of this tournament with Na'Vi versus Vitality. Na'Vi at 1.661, 2.183 for Vitality. So Na'Vi is like a pretty solid favorite here, but if you think they're going to be back into form, maybe you take this one because there haven't been that good odds on Na'Vi this year as one of the top two powerhouses of 2022. But like you said, they may be making a roster change. So how seriously is Na'Vi taking this event, do you think?
I do. Look, to me, Blade is super old school. He's the sort of person who just takes every event seriously and does try to win every match and be a total pro and so that. The problem is, like, the fact that to me, I don't think there's a world where Sumdae Young is in the lineup next year. There's a world that could free you up and you could just say, fuck it, no point getting stressed, is it? We'll just play the game, see how we do. That could be better. But I have to say, what I've seen of Na'Vi in the last few months is really dire. Like, every time we've all been waiting for that moment, tons of us have done this, where when they make the playoffs, you go, right, it's all right, because the real Na'Vi's going to... It just doesn't happen. At the moment, the team has really dropped off, and their core identity, which allowed them to bring in this guy, SDY, from former Team Spirit, and just go, this could work, was that they had the craziest firepower ever in this amazing arsenal. It wasn't just simple. It was Electronic was a beast. Bit was like the rookie of the year. None of those things apply this year. Electronic as an IGL, the numbers went down. Bit, they've moved his roles around a bit. His numbers have completely capsized. And basically, the problem is, so some of that young guy, no one was bigging him up as a player. They were just like, right, essentially, the rest of the team's so good. If you just do nothing, then it'll all be okay. That doesn't work anymore. He needs to contribute. So the problem at the moment is they only win at the moment when Simple does have a really good game, which he's still good. And even he's not the peak, like every event MVP candidate. So quite frankly, I actually think right now I'm going to take Vitality. I know Vitality's had their problems. They've had a few dodgy looking results themselves, but I actually think we haven't seen them in a while. I expect they will have put in mad practice for this event. They really need a win towards the end of the year. Remember, since they made the Sphinx move, all they've had is they had the win at Pro League and that's it. They haven't even made the playoffs at the major. They didn't even make it to fall fight. This is basically the other event for them in the whole season for them to have a chance to do something. So I think they'll be very prepped, and I think this is just the time where I think I take them as the underdog.
Well, it's also probably they need to show something here. Otherwise, more roster moves you would think might be incoming if they haven't actually lived up to the potential of this particular lineup. Okay, let's do this. I'm going to take a little bit smaller one on this. Let's do 750. On Vitality here because they have been a little bit unseen, and there's always that chance of just Simple popping off for a series and completely dominating. So not going in too hard on that one. Do you have a prediction for the winner of this event?
I actually did a little video for Esports Bet on this one. So yeah, basically I did take FaZe Clan. Like I actually, put it this way, I also had them winning the last one, which they almost did. No, because this is the thing. If you just look at the factors, I think they all just line up. Like again, one of the best factors for their team is that unlike a lot of other teams, they don't rely on like a simple. They really can get it done if one guy has like a half of an event or doesn't do his numbers because the rest of them are so good. So I think, yeah, I think they're back. Like I say, I think the major was the blip.
So is the FaZe era going to start next year, or do you think any of these other teams will be able to compete with them? Because the story of the last major was it really felt like there were, you know, four potential winners, and none of those teams ended up actually even in the finals. So is this a new kind of uniquely competitive era of Counter-Strike, or will the FaZe domination start in 2023?
I mean, to me, FaZe has never actually been bad. Like, I think if you even go and look when they're eliminated, it's often very close games. Like I say, oftentimes the other teams having the game of their life. These are all great signs if you want to look historically to track how good a team is. The problem for FaZe overall is, to me, other teams can, like, get to their level and contend with them. I don't see a reason they would drop off in the next 3 to 4 months, personally. Like, I know some people think because they are not winning at the moment, like, that's going to change. I think a lot of the qualities in the game that work for them, like, for example, give them time, and I guarantee they'll work in a new base, and they'll see what they can do with that regard, and they'll do something interesting with the map pool. So yeah, I trust them as a team to still be a top team. It is obviously a little bit worrying, like you say, almost inevitably. This is why you can't always win in Counter-Strike. If you win, people will just make roster moves and try and improve their roster to beat you. So like, I do think if they don't win, if like other people do badly at this event, the Liquids, there's a world where these teams are all one piece from competing.
Very good. All right. Well, guys, thanks a lot for watching Competitive Edge here in 2022. As usual, it's not only esports, but the World Cup that you can bet on through the end of the year over on esportsbet.io. So a chance to go use your crypto to place wagers on traditional sports as well, considering the esports year is coming to a close. So thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you next time.